is chilling. What more can I say? Top villain.
What's up, everybody? This is your boy, Bill Bellamy. Welcome to the number one podcast in the nation for the culture, the movement, and the discussion. Today, you are in for an incredible treat. It is a iconic hip-hop situation. I have none other than Ice Cube, the West Coast King, in the building. Oh my God, I got Too Short representing the Bay Area King. You add Snoop Dogg. We got my Westmore representatives in the building. Yay, yay! Welcome, bro. We got over 40 million albums totally sold sitting in here. We have contributions to hip hop that cannot be put in the box. Cube, I'm gonna get this started off with you. You are a legend. You are icon living. You have done something in hip hop that very few people have been able to do. You have always kept your brand legendary, real, West Coast. You always West Coast, no matter what. I thought at one point you played for the Raiders, but whatever. You are a pioneer in so many different ways. How does it feel at this point in your career to really feel settled in and know that your flowers are here and you have received them?
Bless, you know, that's the only thing you can really, you know, equated to, you know, just I feel blessed to be in this position. This is where I wanted to be, you know, coming up as a young MC. You know, the respect was something that was more important to me than the money.
Facts.
That the people that I grew up loving, that I grew up fans of, you know, I was able to share the stage with them. And not just share the stage with them, but get respect from them, you know, respect from the Public Enemies and the LLs and the Run DMCs of the world.
Yeah, this is early days of hip hop. We're talking like coming out of the 80s into the 90s. This is a question I always wanted to ask you. When you was, let's say you 8, 10, 9, 10 years old, right?
Yeah.
When did you know that, like, yo, man, I wanted to be a rapper? What was the thing that made you say, I want to be in a music game or whatever?
You know, I never really thought unless I played an instrument or I could sing, I really never thought I was, you know, in a position to be a part of the music industry.
Okay.
You know, until hip hop came along. And so I was a fan, just looking for hip hop, you know, from 10 years old to about 14. And when I turned 14, it's when I wrote my first rap. And I never stopped writing. You know,
and what about you, Short? The same thing. You are a platinum member of Top Villain, by the way. this is our second time getting an opportunity to sit down with Short, and I didn't get a chance to answer you the first time, because I want kids that love hip hop like you did as at adolescents to say, you know, that the dream can be real. What was it like for you, say, 10 years old? Did you see that you wanted to be in the music business or as a rapper or anything?
Well, you know, the first time I ever really heard hip hop as it was called hip hop was when Rapper's Delight hit the radio.
Okay.
I didn't really get much of the 70s East Coast hip hop before Rapper's Delight.
Okay.
I now know the story and have, you know, went back into it and learned a lot more about it and heard some of the old mixtapes and talked to OGs like Busy B, who, you know, people who was there.
That lived it.
Grandmaster Flash and, you know, just telling you the history of what you know and love, hip-hop. But after I heard it, not long after I heard Rapper's Delight, other hip-hop records started coming out. It was like Grandmaster Flash had Freedom. You know, the Sequence came out. It was okay. Spoonie G.
Yeah.
And sooner or later, it was
like a movie.
Super Rhymes and, you know, Jimmy Spicer. And I was just taking in all this New York hip hop. And I think I was in 10th grade, man. It's probably like 1980. It hadn't even been a good year and a half, 2 years before I first heard it. And I was like, I can do this.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. I was 14, just like Cube said. I was 14.
About 14, yeah, right
and
age.
I just said, I could do this. And I just found me a little instrumental, digging through mom's collection, found something with a little instrumental on it, and I just started doing my version and it never stopped.
Wow.
You know?
It's so many things that we're going to get into in this interview, but more importantly, I just want it to be a more of a nostalgic sort of, before we get into where we are now. Because I think a lot of times people tell our stories. I want us to tell our stories and get the history right. When I first got in the game in 92, going into 93, Ice Cube, you was one of the first West Coast rappers that I had heard of. Like, cause they in New York, we wasn't hearing West Coast rap that much, right? Yeah. You had to kind of go out your way to hear it. And N.W.A. was like my first, you know, sort of like, oh, yo, they talking that shit over there. We wasn't really hearing cursing. Y'all was saying motherfucker, you know, and then with the twang on it took motherfucker. Like I was like, dang, they sound different out there. And I'm a New York cat, Jersey cat, trying to like go, oh, Snoop, hip hop is in more places. And so when I came out here with MTV, and I finally got a chance to meet you, and then now you cooking. Like it went from hearing about this mythical N.W.A. group to meeting Ice Cube, and it was a good day. And you understand that was. That song was crazy.
Yeah, without a doubt. Early years of just starting to get traction and get respect and love. And I think, you know, putting our flag in the ground.
Yeah, it was so cool to see, man.
Yeah, just, you know, we was happy to finally get traction in a lot of ways and be able to let people know that, you know, we love hip hop on the West Coast. You know, we have our history too. We have our, Uncle Jam Army, Roger Clayton.
Right.
You know, you got Egyptian Lover. We got Bobcat. You know what I'm saying? We had DJ Joe Cooley.
The Wrecking Crew.
Wrecking Crew, you know. So, you know, we had our history too. But we were now starting to break through on the national level
with Ice-T.
Awesome.
And
other groups, you know, even JJ Fad would start breaking through and start chipping away at Tone Loc. You know, these dudes would just start to chip away at what it meant to be a MC in hip hop and that, you know, it's not just New York now. But it's L.A.
It was almost like there were pods of hip hop growing, right? Because you got to understand, you know, we didn't have social media.
Yeah.
And if you didn't travel, you would not hear other groups. It's different now. They got social media. We got YouTube. So like I'm saying, for me to hear a West Coast rapper, I had to go to the West Coast almost.
Mm-hmm. Check out the magnitude of it, though. So California, we come out the gate real strong.
Right.
All the groups he was just naming all came out with platinum albums out the gate.
Tone
Loc, Young MC, you know,
N.W.A. Rapping Forte. I'm just giving you West Coast rappers or just when
so look
I
at this.
Came
let me explain to you. So we come out the gate selling 1 million albums. After we build up our little street legacy, then we get that national platform, we all go platinum back to back. And definitely in my case, my platinums
okay.
were only coming from three regions, the Midwest, down South, and the West Coast. So what would happen is you get a guy from New York that's
okay.
platinum,
okay.
but he got the benefit of all four regions. So you're wondering, his numbers are 1.whatever million, mine are 1.whatever million, but then when I get him somewhere like Detroit or somewhere like Arkansas, and they looking like, you know, it was just a sort of like us, like he said, planting our flag. We showing up.
Yeah.
Wasn't really getting a lot of respect in the door, but the numbers was there.
But the numbers so don't lie, bro.
I'm in Arkansas with, you know, all the top rappers. We doing a show. We on the same bill.
Okay.
Arkansas don't give a fuck if you're from the West or the East.
They want hip hop.
But I'm coming out there, and I got the level of the way the fans are loving me in that region.
Yes.
Is bigger than certain other artists.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
We're selling the same numbers, but mine are only from those three regions. So in a couple of spaces, I get you in a couple of places.
I catch you slipping in Arkansas.
Yeah, exactly. So hey, the plane, when we're not on the west or the east, we're in the middle of the country, the right. playing field evens out.
Right. And this is the part of that of hip hop that I really would love my listeners and people that will watch this on YouTube to see. It's like the growth of it. And
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you guys and even myself included from my part of the contribution, but you guys pioneered through an era where you really were chipping at a mountain. Chopping down, making sure that, you know, we put out a solid hit, put out a record that represent my region. Because you knew where your fan base was kind of back then. And you kind of like, say, I got to water this and then spread out from there, right?
And the bar was high.
Without a doubt, you know, and New York was setting the bar.
Yeah.
You know, they showed us how to be pros in a lot of different ways. And we had to create things that worked in our region.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? But we still had to measure against, you know, some of the best to ever do it. You know, we had to measure against Rakim and, you know, EPMD and, you know, just some of the best who ever did it. We had to measure up even though we were doing our own style. So yeah. They set the bar and it took us a minute to really find our, you know, our tone and our, you know, our bar.
Yeah.
And then we had to, you know,
you from Jersey?
Start creating.
Yeah, I'm from
there.
Jersey, yeah.
You wasn't in it either. It was only the five boroughs. If you wasn't in
Yo,
them five
that's
boroughs,
what I'm saying.
Philly wasn't in it. Jersey wasn't in it. They was like, if you ain't
it was
from the
New
five
York,
boroughs.
Listen, New York in that time, from my standpoint, to give you a snapshot from the East Coast looking west, it was like New York was so hot at this time because you had all these groups coming out, man. You had solo artists, you had groups, you had DJs that were becoming names. Like, you know, they were like really, really starting to cut records a certain way. It was almost like a movie, right?
Yeah.
So I'm immersed in it as a comedian and a fan of hip hop. Like, mm-hmm. So I'm like, I'm doing shows with Biggie. I'm doing shows with rappers that I did a show with Special Ed. I did a show. Like, I'm like, yo, man, these cats is doing these little rooms that I'm doing that's got 100 people, but the people going crazy,
yeah.
Right? So when I got MTV, there was just sort of iconic moment because MTV was like, yo, we playing all hip-hop. And so now I get a chance to meet Too Short. Now I get a chance to meet Ice Cube. I get a chance to meet Snoop Dogg when he 19, drop his first album. Yeah. I get a chance to meet Dr. Dre. I get a chance to go up to the Bay and meet E-40. Like, so I just got on a plane and it looked like my plane kept landing in different regions. And I was like, yo, it's rap music everywhere. Like, that was my impression.
Yeah, it was great to see that, you know, Rakim said one time, it ain't where you from, it's where you at.
Oh, right.
And so it was great to see that that was starting to be the reality in hip-hop.
Correct.
It ain't where you from, it's where you at. We had hits coming from, you know, you had the Ghetto Boys in Houston. Oof. Coming up. You know, you had, you know, people like MC Breed, you know what I'm saying, from Flint, Michigan.
From Flint.
You know, you got...
Eight Ball.
You got... So here it was. And, you know, not... You know, talking about the bass music that Luke and the 2 Live crew was doing.
And numbers too.
Yeah, you know, so you know, the music started to spread, and it wasn't really about, you know, where you from. It was about what was coming out the speakers.
Coming out the speakers.
And that's the essence of hip hop. You know, it's like if you good enough to put your city on. Your city should be put on.
Absolutely.
You know, without a doubt. Like,
no, but you
Nelly
put on the West Coast,
with St. Louis.
You put on the whole Western seaboard you went hard for. You said the West Side.
I mean, I had help. You know, it's like so many people was the foundation of that.
Correct.
Leading up to that moment. You know, it was so many going into that. You can't count out King T and DJ Pooh. And so... There's a great foundation that hopefully we'll be able to tell those stories Hip-hop is 50 years old.
Yes.
It's time to tell the stories of...
of the West Coast, the producers. Like, I'll give you an example that we're going to get into to Mount Westmore. Like, DJ Quick, to me, is probably one of the most talented, most underrated producers on the West Coast I've ever seen.
He changed music.
He changed music. Like, it doesn't seem like they ever give him his flowers on his gift... his contribution to this game, right? And it's a lot of artists like
that. Well, a lot of work that Quick did, you don't know he did it. He's one of those producers from that era where the producer wasn't trying to jump out in front and go, I made that.
His first album, classic. His first album really showed producers, hey, we have to move away from strictly sampling and start to play our own music.
Correct.
And start to be creators on that level. And, you know, people give the Chronic a lot of credit for making that change. But you got to look at DJ Quick first album as well. You know, that was the start of like, yo, we got to get more musical. We have to get, you know,
add some levels to it.
I'm talking about on the West Coast. Of course, you got Teddy Riley and what them guys is doing. But for the most part, DJ Quick is in that conversation.
Absolutely. That's why I brought it up, because he's one of those guys that, you know, I just think is so talented, and his sound is so unique, and what he has done, like Short said, he was never really one of those guys trying to market himself. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, most artists, you know, you're dealing with a true artist.
Yeah.
And you know, I saw Quick as an artist that was into his music. You know, as far as trying to be a big star and all that, you know, that to me wasn't on his radar.
No,
it was like,
not at all. He
back in the
music.
Studio,
let's get
do
it.
Great music and all that to take care of himself.
I give Quick credit too, because when he pulled up, High C, his homeboy got an album. AMG, his homeboy got an album. Second to None, his homie's got an album.
Right,
he got an album.
Yeah,
and then when you listen to all their albums, it's Quick on the production. You know,
it's gangster. This brings us full circle around to where we are now with how you were able to get a super group, man. We so need this in this moment in hip hop, a group of iconic guys that have put so much work in that the fans get to see all of y'all, man. Tell me how Mount Westmore came about. I'm excited.
Hey, you know, it was during the, you know, the end of the pandemic.
Okay.
E-40 called me. He was doing a wellness check, you know, just calling.
Checking in.
Yeah, see how you doing, man. You maintaining. And he said, yo, Q, we need to do a group. I said, a group? What you mean? He said, yeah, man, me, you, Snoop Dogg, and Too Short. And it didn't take me long to know that was a great idea.
Man, y'all like the Avengers, bruh.
Without a doubt. And we real friends.
Yeah.
And we real supporters of each other. And we work with each other. And we've toured together for 30 years or more, you know.
Easy.
Me and Too Short went on the first NWA tour. And then he went on my first solo tour. So we've been touring, you know, ever since we was able to go across the whole country like that.
Wow.
And so, you know, you talking about friends that's been for 30 plus. So I was like, good idea. Hell yeah, let's do it. He asked me what we was going to call it. I said Mount Westmore.
Right.
You know, and it came to me. A lot of Mount Rushmore talk was going through the country at the time. And Mount Westmore popped in my mind because it's the perfect name for the perfect group.
Yeah, it is.
You know what I'm saying?
It works.
We from the West, you getting more. And it's a labor of love. And look, we a real group. So we started a real business together that we can continue to grow.
Absolutely.
From here on out. We got more albums. You know, we got tours planned. More visuals. We got a documentary that's great. You know, we in the process of writing a movie, you know, about the group. So it's cool to to grow something new.
Now, I was listening to a couple of the songs on the album, and I was just like amazed on how y'all figure out when, who's going to say this or who, because it's like, it's all of y'all. One person's Iron Man, one person's the Hulk, one man's Flash, some Cap, somebody's Batman or Spider-Man. So you just don't know when to bring in the superhero.
We didn't figure shit out.
Y'all just figure it out?
No, we just did it.
Just built the songs, you know. Short, he'll tell you exactly how everything started to come together. You know, he got it down.
I like to talk in terms where people can relate. So I was fortunate enough to be walking through the airport with you and Corey the other day, yes. Corey Holcomb.
Yes.
And y'all was talking technique.
Absolutely.
And he said something. One of y'all said, do you think it would work if me and you got on stage, you and Corey, and just freestyled? Right. And the other guy said, hell yeah, it'll work. And that's kind of like the confidence that we have.
Okay.
Like, you ain't finna get on stage with anybody and say, we got no material together, let's go, and feel good about it, unless it's
the right person.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So,
I got you.
I'm in the room with Snoop Dogg, E-40, and Ice Cube. What are we gonna do? Whatever, nigga, let's go. Like, Cube said a few times already, he said, we would have to try hard to make a bad record.
Bro, y'all got haters, bro. Like, it's so refreshing to hear, because I feel like West Coast has a sound, right?
Yeah.
It feels very West Coast, and it's flavor, though. And what y'all talking about, flavor, right? It's like the right time, bro. Yeah. I believe God's timing is flawless when it's effortless.
Yeah, you know, it's a good plan usually comes together pretty quick. You know what I mean? A good idea. Mm-hmm. And so good music is the same way. Some of my best records I wrote in less than an hour or two.
Right, just when
you
got it.
It's just coming out you. You know, it's like running out you. You can't write fast enough. And some ideas that you work on for months and months and months never
go anyway, right?
Never become the shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, these records, we'd get a beat.
Okay.
If nobody put a verse on the beat, we don't like it. But if you get a verse back, you're like, oh, okay. You might get a verse and a hook. Now, you get the beat again later on, 6-7 hours later, now I got two verses on it. And you're like, oh, shit, I better get my verse on it.
Because Short didn't drop three on it.
Exactly. So, you started to build the record and help the record become better and better.
Wow.
Each time another MC dropped a verse. Mm-hmm. You look up, there's four verses, there's a hook, and it's a dope-ass song.
And then you're dealing with four songwriters, so whoever starts it off, when you start a song off, you got to kind of start it. You got to make it feel like it's a vibe.
Okay.
So then if I hear a song and it's got one of these three guys giving the vibe in the beginning, I'm just going to kind of follow that.
Right.
And kind of add to it. And then the third guy come in. So it's not really like, hey, man, you go second. It was just like, as a writer and an artist, you know where to paint the picture in that moment where I'm up third to bat. All right, I gotta do it. So then if I'm on the song last, I listen to what everybody's saying. I'm like, I have to end this song. It's got to
happen. You got to close it.
Yeah, and it's got to bring home some of the subject and the vibe and ride. So it's like, I don't know, man. If we were a baseball team, we could all play all positions.
Y'all the dream team right now, man. Y'all the dream team in hip-hop. We got iconic legends deciding to not only perform together, create masterpieces together. I wish, you know, more guys of your level would do that, because I feel like it's a lot of good energy in it. You know, the camaraderie. Yeah. You guys are all comfortable in your space. It doesn't feel like there's no egos. You know, that's the hardest thing, is to get guys together when everyone is so big and everyone is like, you know, ego is so big they can't even make room for the other people, instead of looking like, yo, all of us together is a juggernaut.
Without a doubt. You know, I think that comes from, you know, a lot of respect for each other.
Yeah.
You know, across the board.
And the friendships, too.
Friendship, respect. And we want to honor each other, and hopefully, look, more guys will see what we did
yeah.
and do it.
It's a gift, it's, you know,
hard.
What I'm saying?
Yo, but it's hard to get a starting five. You know what I mean? Y'all got a nice little five right
there. Yeah, I mean, it fits, you know. It's just perfect. And so hopefully, guys, you know, see a combination out there. And
so it's bigger
Mount
than
Eastmore. Why not?
Yeah, right. You could do it Eastmore.
It's bigger than trying to mimic what we do, though. It's almost like you could look at it as like, man, I want to do what they did, or you could just look at it in the simplest form of that, like, it's strength in numbers. You know, we get together, and
yes, sir,
you could call all four of our agents and book a show, but when you call Mount Westmore's agent, that's a whole different ballpark. You know what I'm saying? Together, it's a lot more strength in that.
Oh my God! Can you, sweetheart? What's your name again?
May,
look at the titles of this albums, because I got three songs that I really, really like, and I want to ask them about these songs. All you got to do is tell me the song, and I'll tell you. I love that. I was banging that jank. Okay. One of them has got something to do with 808.
Big Subwoofer.
Oh, Big Subwoofer, yeah.
Activated, California.
Yeah.
Go back.
So I like Subwoofer.
Yeah,
I love Subwoofer. That one, like, I know when I like a song, because immediately I'm like, that's boom.
That was the first single.
Yeah. So that one right there, California.
Yeah, that's off the rip.
Yeah.
You know, Snoop Dogg. I mean, it don't give you no time to get prepared or nothing. You just
You're in there.
That's what I love about.
Yeah, you just
like,
in it.
Oh shit, I was like, damn, how they do that shit. Like, that's the part about y'all music too, because each song has different, like a different character to it.
Yeah, you know, it the complexion of the album changes, you know, as you listen to it. You know, it starts off fun, and then it starts to, you know, spit game, you know, and then
Fair Game is another one of mine.
Yeah, like, yeah, Free Game.
Free game.
It's like, you know, these are songs that are perfect for the group, perfect for right now. You know, songs like Lace You Up, Do My Best, you know, those are inspirational songs. So I think the group is touching on all, you know, cylinders, you know what I mean? We hitting you with a little bit of, you know, classic West Coast. We hitting you with new concepts, but we also hitting you with OGs talking to the youngsters too.
Yeah, we need that.
It's all that.
I had Wiz Khalifa come on not too long ago on Top Billing, and he is so influenced by you guys. And the beauty of him is, you know, he's, you know, let's say he's like say if you guys are juniors or seniors in high school, he's like a freshman or going into his sophomore year, but he's still in the hip-hop school. He's still hip-hop university, right?
Yeah, we all should be still.
Right, we still in school.
Yeah.
Right, we still learning, right?
Yeah.
And so, but what I liked about what Wiz Khalifa said was that you guys opened up the door so big for him coming out of Pittsburgh that he wanted to be in that university, and he made a way. He made a way from Pittsburgh, from a little town.
Come on now.
Like, this is how powerful you guys are. You had a guy like Wiz Khalifa, who was 5 to 6 years old, see the hole you opened up, and his eyesight stayed on the hole, and he got to get there.
Amazing. You know, artists that come from places that, you know, are not screaming, you know, this is a hip-hop, you know, mecca. But find a way. You know, do damn good music. Like, when you good, it don't matter where you come from. You know what I'm saying? It just don't matter.
All facts.
That's just, he's cream of the crop artist. And, you know, he's reaping the benefits of being a cream of the crop artist. And so, you know, when you look at youngsters that know what they're doing and know what their audience is about and know how to communicate with their audience, man, you know, we become fans of that.
Absolutely.
You know, we become fans of Wiz and artists that can do that. You know, just like we was with artists that was before us, we are fans of artists that come behind us too.
Now, right now, hip hop turns 50. Her birthday, hip hop. Do we want to know, is hip hop a female or a male? Like, because I don't know. Is it her birthday? Is it his birthday? How y'all feel, team? Top Billy.
It's always called a her because.
right? Because we love her, right?
No, everything's a her. Your car is a her.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, hip-hop gives birth to new artists, new stars, new styles.
Yes, it's
so when you're giving birth, you're a mother.
She's a mother. Yes. So we love her, right? So real quick, hip-hop will be turning 50, 2023. And that's an iconic number. I want to say that I'm going into my 30th year being a part of hip-hop, right?
Yeah.
I am astounded on the growth. Like, I don't think anybody could foresee that hip-hop would be around for 50 years. I don't think anybody could foresee that the amount of influence. Now, you coming in 17, 18, no social media, wasn't on mainstream TV at all. It was radio stations dominating if you were going to become something or not.
Yes.
To now, where you can create a super group, where you have branding, where you have big tour dates. I mean, how does that feel to be a part of that?
I mean, it feels amazing, you know, that there's an industry now, you know, around this music. And it's great that, you know, artists like a Soulja Boy can come out and, you know, straight out of his room
and
become a superstar without having to go through all the label stuff, you know, that just showing you, yo, there is a way, you know, there's
Chance the Rapper, you know.
When we first started doing hip hop, and if everybody remember, we go back 50 years, it's all love now, but traditional music hated rap.
Period.
You know, soul singers hated rappers, you know, for the most part.
Out the gate.
And really, well, you know, hate is a harsh word, but really dismissed the music. And
they didn't respect it. They didn't respect the samplers. Nah. They didn't respect the cadence. They didn't respect the lack of melodies. They didn't respect it.
Yeah.
And they made it known. Radio stations used to say, top R&B and no rap.
Yeah, they used to brag that it was no rap on the station.
And no rap ever.
So we've always made a way. You know, major labels, they didn't know what they was doing, you know. Independent labels started hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Independent labels kept hip hop going.
Correct.
And these major labels were late to the party. They signed people that shouldn't have been signed to an album. They oversaturated the industry. They fucked it up. So hip hop always finds a way, which is great. And that's why it's as big as it is. It's because it's still from the street. Mm-hmm. It's always going to find a way to... The freshness is gonna float to the top, and so that being said, you know, I'm proud to be a part of it. I'm proud to carve my own way to it.
You gotta be funny to get in comedy.
Yes.
You gotta be cool as fuck to get in hip hop. Like you gotta.
But that's true though. That's true.
Jermaine Dupri saw little kids walking through the mall with their clothes on backwards and said, "Y'all fucking stars." Them little dudes didn't want to be rappers that day. But he made them motherfuckers based on the swag. And that's what this shit is, man. It's like a mixture of things. Like, talent got to be there. You
Number
know,
one.
You can come in dancing, DJing, rapping, lyrical, all kind of shit. But if that swag is not there, you're not in. So that's why hip-hop is so influential culturally, you know?
Because
we do the coolest shit. And I don't care where you once you say, oh, that's it, that's cool, hip hop go, nope, this cool now.
That is so true.
We have white people out there dabbing and shit.
Do you think that because there is a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, don't you think we need a hip hop Hall of Fame, like a real situation?
Of course.
Like, you know, real situation.
Yeah,
where
they're working on one, you know. And
we got to have a building where you can go on a tour and you can go through the world of hip hop on all different levels. They literally had a Tupac exhibit here that I went to see that I thought was really, really nice. I don't know if you got a chance to see it. It was really, really nice because you got an opportunity to see some of his most personal writings. You got a chance to be, you know, see some of his poetry as well, and then the music and then the videos. So you kind of got a chance to walk through it. Hip hop, in my opinion, needs that, like that sort of museum where you can actually go back in time and almost feel like you were there in 81 or 82.
Yeah, I think they're working on one in New York. Uh-huh. Yeah, so hopefully it comes yeah, together.
No, we're going to speak it. We're going to speak full throttle. And Cube, man, listen,
VH1 was doing it for a minute. Remember Hip Hop Honors?
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, short, you got to have your own section in that joint. Then you got Cube got his own section. Snoop got his own section. E-40 got his own section. That's how dope y'all are, bro. Y'all all got your own section in this game, and then y'all decided to cement it with the supergroup. I want to come to a show. How can I get a chance to see you guys perform, bro?
Well, you know, we're in the process of putting the shows together.
Okay.
You know, locking in dates and planning the tour together. So, you know, you just got to keep checking out. We'll hit you up and shit. I'll text you and let you know.
Let me know, man. Don't have me out here slipping.
Nah, I get you in.
And it's hard. I used to see Cube all the time. People don't know how much you love basketball.
Yeah, I do.
Like, literally, if you wasn't rapping, I think you would have been hooping. You would have been like some CP3.
I don't know about that. I'm going to keep it real. Keep it realistic.
But
I do love the game.
You love the game.
Love to play. Love to watch. You know, love to promote it. You know, I got the big three.
Yes.
We growing into our sixth season.
Of the big three. I'm very, very proud of that venture for you. You gave us something to be entertained by in the off season between basketball and, you know, whatever
it was. In the boring months in the summer.
In the summer when it ain't nothing to do.
It ain't nothing to do.
And what I've loved that you did was you started creating the characters of each person in the team. So now you committed to it.
Yeah.
So you know what I mean? You're getting to know the team. You get a little backstory. You got celebrities. It's really, what made you come up with that idea? Big three.
Just as a fan, you know, sick of hibernating in the summer. Mm-hmm. You know, when the finals was over, I'd go and won't come out till it was football season. So I was like, man, it must be a lot of people out there like me who just hate summer sports. So Big Three is the perfect time, perfect, you know, having some competitive real games in the summer when most teams are either they're in mid-season or they're done with their season or preseason, but let's have a real season during the summer, so the Big Three.
I just saw one of the games where you had Gilly out there playing.
Yeah, celebrity game.
Yeah, it was so fun to watch, man. Yeah. You don't remember our Rock and Jock games?
Yeah, I remember all that,
man.
That's where I got the idea from.
You ain't gonna get no 25-point basket or no. You got the four-point.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I ain't.
The 25-point
I want people to recognize the game. You know what I'm saying?
We ain't gonna make it too silly.
Yeah, we ain't gonna play with it too much.
But I remember, I'm gonna tell you a funny moment. I don't know if you was playing this year. Gary Payton had 175 points.
Oh, damn.
You remember that Gary Payton figured out how to make the 25-point, and he hit one of the 50 ones. And
Lord,
the 50
have mercy.
Was way up there, and Gary hit that mug. He had 175 points.
That's crazy.
You know where he's from, right?
That's a shame.
Oakland, California.
Oakland, California. Represent. Shout out to GP.
Now, yeah, he a coach, you know, with the big three. Been there from day one, so much
which
love
team?
To
which
Gary
team? Which team?
Well, he was with the Three-Headed Monsters forever. They made the playoffs every year. Mm-hmm. Then he switched over to Bivouac. They didn't do as well. So we hope to have him back, and you know, he'll get that team right.
Is there any way that I could put together a team, my own team?
I don't know about that.
Could I?
Celebrity game, yeah. You know,
Celebrity game, do I have to play? Like, do I need to be in shape?
Yeah.
God damn it.
Man, 3-on-3 is harder than 5-on-5 in a lot of aspects.
And y'all don't call a lot of fouls, I see.
I mean, you know, we want them to play.
Okay.
You don't want that ticky-tack stuff. So that's the NBA.
Is that Ice Cube situation? Let them play ball.
Let them ball. You know, in the paint, you know, we want grown man basketball in the paint.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? Out there on the perimeter.
I still got shows and TV to do, no?
Yeah. Hey, the celebrity games ain't as rough as the real deal. You know,
games.
The real deal, you
I'm
know.
Like, yo!
Hey, you know what I'm saying? It's like
y'all had Big Baby in the paint, and he was not playing.
That's how we want it.
Oh my God.
That's how we want it. We don't want no soft ass basketball, man. You know, you see enough of that in the NBA.
It was fun to watch cats that still really can go. Like I seen my man I'm thinking his name right now with the handles. Smith went play for the Hawks.
Trey?
No, not Trey Young. He just retired. He just recently retired.
Play for the Joe Johnson. Joe Johnson. ISO Joe. Yeah, man. He was a problem.
I don't know why he ain't in the league, but anyway, he was cooking in that big three. I was like, he was unguardable.
That's why they call him ISO Joe. You know, he got that name for a reason. And, you know, in 3-on-3, you ain't getting too much help. You gotta man up, lock up.
Yeah, you gotta lock up. You by yourself.
By yourself out there. So, you know, it's a perfect game for him.
With Snoop Dogg, we was hoping we was going to get Snoop Double G in here today. When we come out on tour, right, most of the songs you all are on, but then it's two, then it's three, you know, y'all mix it up. So how y'all going to do this thing, man? I'm excited about this.
Well, we went on tour before. We did about 9-10 shows, okay. And we just did all our hits, like, you know, you jump up there, I jump up there, do one or two, just fall back, two short, jump up, do one. So we was doing that for about damn near 3 hours a show.
Y'all got 1,000 songs. Y'all got 1,000 goddamn songs together. How long is your show supposed to be? 2 hours, right? You got to cut down 1,000 songs to.
That's what makes it dope, man. That's what makes it dope.
Yeah, and we still wasn't doing the Mount Westmore album. We was just doing our solo shit. So you had that Mount Westmore album. We could do a 4-hour show.
Easy.
But mathematically, if you're only gonna do 2 hours and you got all these hits, you look at the list of hits on the paper and you start trimming. And no matter what you trim it to, it just gets better and better and better. Like. The crowd, man, we would do such good songs in the early part of the show.
Correct.
That the crowd, by the time it's like an hour and a half in and we still hitting it with hits, people in the crowd looking like, is this really happening? Like slap me. I don't believe this.
Dude, I'm telling you, I'll give you a perfect example. And I've been to both of your shows individually. The thing that blew my mind, you'd be like, that's right. You say that's right. 8,000 times, because just certain songs you just forget. You'd be like, oh, that's right! Oh, shit! Because I remember where we were. It was somewhere out here in California, and you did like a 5-song medley.
Yeah.
And I never, stop, get it. I will. What song is that?
You could do it, put your back into it.
Bro, I forgot how crazy that song is.
Yeah, that song, go.
That song, go.
That song,
and
go.
And I was like, yo, that's right. I was like, yo, you in 5 songs, you hit haymakers. Bow, bow, bow. Same thing with Short. We was just in Detroit.
Yeah.
I said, boy, this
boy's killing it.
Because I be forgetting, because me and Short be laughing.
Got 30 years of music.
Because he lightweight, think he a comedian. Yeah. Off when he not rapping. Right, so you will be on.
Not on stage, though.
Not on stage. But when you hang out with Short, he is a good dude, and he is funny in his own way, right? So now I'm sitting there, he be like, yo, B, I can't talk to you, Mom. I'm getting ready to go do my show. I'm like, what? And then I go, and I'm watching him, and he... Bow, bow, bow. Bro, I promise you, I'm not blowing smoke when I tell you I'm coming out to see y'all. Ain't no way I'm missing this.
Got to,
ain't
man.
No, it you ain't know, no it's way, man. I've never seen E-40.
Oh, yeah, he slaps, too.
Go down. Oh, half my show is comedy now. If you see me perform, half my show is comedy.
I saw you.
I'll be saying
some shit.
I'll be on
him. Yeah, he funny. He funny.
In the moment.
Moving forward, if you could see yourself, Westmore is absolutely super duper hit. Everything that you guys wanted to do, what would be the next move, did you think, that you could add or just push
more
it?
Of it, man. More
music.
Of it.
Yeah, more music. You know, we got a lot, about maybe 25, 30 songs still just in the can, ready to go. So we just trying to figure out when we're going to drop the second one.
And talking about recording a few new ones just because
keep it hot, keep it fresh.
How do you get everybody together in the studio? Like, because you know you're here. Sure,
don't have to.
Technology.
Just use technology. You just know, Zoom. What's cool is Zoom really was coming up.
Right.
When we did this record, so we was basically there together. You know,
yeah.
Face to face arguing over shit. So
and then fix
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, so you know, it all works out. Sometimes that's better because you want people to create on their own time.
Right.
And then when you all get together in the studio sometime, you feel pressured to
the clock is
yo,
ticking.
Yo, yeah, yeah. You know, get your verse in. But when you could do it at your own leisure, you can kind of take your time and make it perfect.
Hey, you know, it's funny, man. I only go in the studio from like, you'll never catch me working any hours other than between 12 noon and 8 p.m. ever. That's just, I've always worked them hours because I don't want to wake up too early.
Right.
And I want to go live a life after the studio at night. I don't want to be a late night studio dude. So 40, he don't start in the studio till about 7 p.m. Snoop, he do all his verses at what, 4 in the morning?
Something like that. me, I don't, like, I want to be in there in the morning, like 10 a.m., like 6, 7.
You was doing a lot of weekend verses too, man.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to be done. I'm a daytime. I can't be in the studio at night too long because, you know, to me, you don't get as much done.
So that's how the verses was coming. Like, you
so
wake up in the morning.
So your wave be in the morning. Somebody wave be in the afternoon. But then you figure it out and put it together anyway. It don't matter.
By the end of the day, we got a song. You know, by the next day, we got a whole song. You know, so.
That's the beauty of, like you said, the beauty of technology. Because back in the day, we wouldn't be able to do it like that.
Nah.
So everybody could be in their comfort zone.
Yeah.
Be creative and still bring the food to the table.
Yep. Without a doubt. And, and don't feel the pressure, you know, because you got three legendary MCs in there waiting for you to finish your shit. You know what I'm saying? It's like, so, you know, we want everybody to be comfortable and they were, and you know, it's a good vibe. It's a good record.
I'm very excited. I'm very thankful that I got an opportunity not only to help support and promote this album, but also to sit down with my friends and like really give you guys your flowers and say that I truly appreciate you, man. I love you to death, man. I just thank you for being Cube. Thank you for being Short. I wish E-40 was here and Snoop is my dude as well. But you guys are really, really, man, pioneered this game and really become legend. Like I say, icon living, man. Y'all icons living, baby.
Appreciate it, man. You know we love you, Bill. You know what I mean? From day one, you've always come with the great spirit. You know what I mean? It's always been love. You know, it's always been to entertain the people,
absolutely,
educate the people, and just bring good vibes. You know what I'm saying? You bring good vibes. So
yeah.
That's important, man, because I know some comedians and they real dark people. You know what I'm saying? They like, they only funny when they on stage
or on.
And they, you know, they don't bring that vibe. So, you know, I appreciate you always, you know. You know, you can't be mad after you done sat down and kicked it with Bill Bellamy. You leave happy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, what I want to do.
Is good. I never really noticed that. Comedians do get off stage after being funny as fuck.
They just start scowling. They go over in the corner, man. Some of them, my friends, I mean, I can't hang out with you, bro.
Yeah.
Yo, man, I can't eat with you, bro. You just, man, you make pancakes bad, bro. Come on, man. Lighten up. But that's the duality a lot of time between the light and the dark. You know, we are able to be creative in those spaces. To all the listeners, I just want you to really, really digest what you heard. You see that these guys are incredible artists, great friends, legends in this game, and I am just honored to have them on Top Billing. We did it. Another one. We killed it. Right here, Westmore in the building. Mount Westmore in the building. This your boy, Bill Bellamy. Another episode of Top Billing, baby.
Bitch.
Bitch.
Milk is chilling. This is chilling.